Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Sometimes when you go soul winning, you can use this leading phrase you want to minister to somebody and just say, "Excuse me, sir, may I ask you a question?" "Yes, if you had one wish, if God gave you one wish, what would you wish for?" And then let him answer you. And that could be asked to you also here today in the auditorium. If you had one thing to ask God for, what would you ask? Well, this happened in the scripture, didn't it? It's 1 Kings chapter 3, where we have Solomon. Verse 5, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Oh, wow. What an invitation, huh? And then, of course, we know, verse 11, God said, "Because you hast asked this thing and not asked for," and those are the three things listed there. What are they? Long life, riches for yourself, in the life of your enemies. I like the last one. You have one thing. The one thing that Solomon asked for was wisdom. This word in the Greek language, we have the word Sophia, and it refers to the wisdom of ultimate things. The Greek writings have many definitions, but the commonest definition, not the communists, but the commonest, is that Sophia is the knowledge of things both human and divine and of their causes. But Solomon, the word there is more than wisdom, because in verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to your words. Oh, I have given you a wise," that is Sophia, "and then understanding heart." Those are two words now, and that word is this word phronesis, and that word is not just the theoretical knowledge of things, but in relation to the application, the practice, it has to do with life and conduct and action. You can have a wise man, but then how does he really understand? And I think this is something we never grow out of course. It is constantly needed in our lives. Not only the gift of wisdom, but also that added to the word, complementing the word, is this word understanding. And then there is one more word, and it is, if you turn to, 1 Kings, we have I've lost my we could turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts 6, please. Acts chapter 6. And we have in our New Testament this amazing work that happened in the church. Acts We have the third word is this word sunesis. It means a uniting, a union, a bringing together, a putting two and two together. Aristotle said that sunesis was concerned only with judgment, a kind of conclusion by that which fair and base things are distinguished. It means that you are able to have an assessment of the situation, give ground and strength to courage because you understand how things are going to go. So we have three words here. I think I can write here on this. Okay, here we go. We have, Sophia Phronesis and Sunesis. Three words. One is ultimate understanding of ultimate things. One is the actual practice of life, the actual outworking of it. And the other one is where are things going? Where are things going? I want you to think with me tonight that you have the Holy Spirit. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This wisdom that we read here in the book, and by the way, it's a primary interest with God that we would have it, that it's very important that we would have an understanding of the ultimate things or the eternal things. In the house that we use, we say first floor, second floor, that wisdom that is from above. In the book of Proverbs, we see the wise man crying out for the believer to get wisdom. And go to one other verse, please, in Proverbs 27. And I'm going to just believe the Lord is going to not be long on this, but speak to our hearts. And it will touch our hearts. Chapter 27, verse 28. Though thou should bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. So we have it up there. Proverbs 27, 20. We're 22. What did I say? 28, I'm sorry. 22. That's no wonder it wasn't up there. 27, 22. Though thou should bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. So that's a difficult verse to get a hold of, but because I know what it means and I understand it. It's easy for me, and I'm going to teach it to you simply. But before I do, could you give it a try at it with your neighbor and explain to them what that verse is? There's an example. We'll explain it this way. If you turn to Mark, please stay with me. Please, Mark and King Herod. And we're chapter 6. King Herod heard of John the Baptist. Herod, it says in verse 20, Herod feared John. This was when John was alive, knowing he was a just man and a holy man. Herod observed him, when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Did Herod like to hear John the Baptist? Yes, it says that. Did John the Baptist rebuke Herod for taking his brother's wife? Yes, verse 18 says that. Herod was rebuked. Herod also liked to hear John the Baptist, but when the young lady danced in front of him and he was seduced by her, then he said, what do you want? I'll give you half the kingdom. I want the head of John the Baptist. She ran and asked her mother, and she said, I want the head of John the Baptist. And this is what Herod gave her. He was a fool. He liked to listen to John the Baptist, but he couldn't process this. He was not wise in the way that Solomon, and we'll speak about it in a minute, but and the way you think, because you have three Greek words that say, not only am I learning by the Bible, but it's actually affecting me in my practical life. And not only that, when I look at things, I kind of get an idea of where they're going. Like, what's the end game? If I live this way, where does it end up? I have some idea of 2 + 2 = 4. This is an amazing gift, because the Bible says that we are foolish and we are able. And one of the marvels of our Bible is that one very, very, very wise man in time became a fool. And who was it? Solomon. The very man that had it is also the man that had 1,000 women in his life. And the Bible says it's not only the women that is a problem. By the way, the women here were not, the women isn't the problem. It was the idols that they brought with them. That women, indeed, that was wrong. But more, it was that Solomon didn't have the sense. Like, how did he lose it? Because he had it, and how did he lose that understanding? Because he writes in the proverb that the strange woman is a narrow pit, and him that is abhorred of the Lord falls into it. How could he do it? I think of the brothers and sisters that have problems with addictions. Like, the best thing you could do is have wisdom before you even touch anything and have an idea, where will this bring me? What's the end game? I remember Pastor Lange, maybe Binks is here tonight. Pastor Lange took Binks down into the city of Budapest, and they walked around looking for alcoholics and drunks, homeless people. And then they had their talk about it. And they say, this is the end game. This is where it goes. This is Sunesis. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Let's go back to the proverb. Go to Proverbs 27. And here is the thing we could say about Herod. If you put Herod in a mortar with a pestle, and in chemistry class, maybe you remember, or you don't, you know, this ceramic bowl with the ceramic instrument that was blunt, and you crushed the ingredient, and you just crushed it. This is the word bray. Bray means to beat. If you beat a fool in a mortar with a pestle, you cannot separate the grain. You cannot separate one substance from the other. They are in it through and through. And that is why there is a hell, by the way. God cannot separate the foolishness from the human heart. God cannot separate the sin and iniquity from people. God cannot get it out of us. He cannot extract it. And when I'm a fool like Herod was, where he'd say, yeah, I like John the Baptist's preaching. I like to listen to it. I hear him gladly. He's a bit entertaining. I enjoy it. But when it comes down to it, he's going to kill him. Because a fool cannot direct his steps. And a fool doesn't understand or comprehend. Okay. Let's go now to Acts 6. And here's the good news for us. Chapter 6 and verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There is so much room for division. And in our country, we see there is a lot of contesting, a lot of strife, and a lot of issues of great importance in our world, in our lives here as Americans. And what is needed to navigate through these waters is wisdom. I need help from God to know what to talk about, what to think about, what to do, what to practice, how to live, how to process this life. We had a great grace hour the other afternoon, I think it was yesterday, and we talked about navigating in the waters in troublous times. And what is needed in our nation is spiritual life, spiritual understanding. What is needed is not the Grecians and the Hebrews fighting with each other. It goes to the next verse. Look at verse 2. Then the 12, who are the 12? Yes, the leaders of the church there in Jerusalem, they called the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. Now that phrase, word of God, has a very profound meaning. It is not just simply the letters on the page, but it's the spirit of God in the word of God. We cannot leave a living message that ministers to the spirit and the heart of the church. We cannot be just simply organizers or managers. We cannot just be like leaders in some normal sense. There has to be the living presentation, the presence, like the lady sang tonight beautifully, the spirit of God in the church, the mind of God in the heart. Because a very wise man, Solomon, can also become a very foolish man. How long does it take? Where does the foolishness come from? My sin nature. How is my foolishness fed? By the world I live in. And they will pick fights where there shouldn't be any. And they will argue issues that are mute and of no importance, ultimately. They speak with the spirit of the world, the mind of the world, the wisdom of the world, but not the wisdom that is from God. And so this is what we see here and what we grow up in. Verse 2. Then they called the disciples, said, we cannot leave this word of God. What is the word? Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, the book of Numbers. We cannot leave. We have to learn that, meditate on it, pray with it, think about it, process it, digest it. It will give me perspective. The word of God is the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God. Look at us here tonight. You know, my wife and I moved from one house to the other, and during the move, we haven't watched any TV because one house didn't have any. And then during the new house, we kind of lost our hunger for it. And I don't have enough time for it anyway. And I don't really know. I don't know the news. And I'm not a news addict. I don't know about it because I know I have something that I really want. I really labor in the work of the ministry. I really care about it. I really care that people don't drift off and become, something less. We will be before God at the Bema Seat in a short time, in a little bit of time, in a few years maybe. And all that we do in our effort, in our heart, and in our attitude. Now go to verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We get troubles with leaders that don't have wisdom. We get in trouble with men that are leading in a church, whether it's this one or any other one, when they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. We get in trouble in our homes when we are not filled with the Holy Spirit and have wisdom. We have problems with youth ministry if we don't have the wisdom and the Holy Spirit filling that will affect us in life so that we bear fruit and understand how we can live and make our decisions. So they said, we need seven men, not just anybody, but full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom whom we appoint over this business. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Wow. Continually. Martin Luther said 3 hours of prayer when he was on a busy day. They didn't have a phone or iPhones. By the way, let me say one thing about iPhones in church. I was thinking someday I'll do it. I'll bring a stack of magazines into church with me. And sit down, you know, and just show you, go through the magazines while I'm in church. What's the difference between me going on my iPhone and being on the net and surfing the net while I'm in church listening to a message? Why don't I just take a stack of magazines and just start flipping through the magazine? That's the same thing. Would you do that? Would you bring a stack of magazines? No, I can't, but I got a stack in my phone. And I can be doing it while nobody's watching me. And I'm telling you, that can't happen if you want to worship God. This takes all my concentration. Even sometimes, so much concentration, I can't even look at a piece of paper and write on it because I'm just so concentrated looking at the speaker and listening to what he's saying. And as he's talking, I got Bible verses going through my mind. That's how I concentrate. I mean, as he's preaching, I got something going on in my spirit and in my mind, and I'm with him in his message, and I got Bible verses going through in my mind, and I love church. I don't go simply out of duty. I go because I love it, because iron sharpens iron, because we have wisdom, and these are the wisest people that I know on the earth. I mean, next to the Hungarians. I mean, next to the Finns. I mean, next to the... Now, for me, this is my... So you understand it. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually... How much? But it's... Believe me, it's not a labor of sweat. It's a labor of love. It's a joy. And to the ministry of the word. You don't come to this church and hear a commentary on politics. You don't come to this church and hear an opinion from psychology or some sociology or biology. God forbid, I love it. You come here because you want to learn this chapter and this one and this one and this one and this one. I went to a beautiful church for about 4 months, and there were two chapters. I heard Acts chapter 2 and then John 3, verse 16. Next week, Acts 2, and next one, John 3. Next week, Acts 2. Next week, John 3. That's all that he spoke from. And by the way, it was anointed, and the man was a man of God. But I was wondering what all these other pages were about. I was trying to figure out what about these? Okay. It takes effort. And that's when you go to Bible college and you get into it, you get into that, and you're making the effort. If you're not going, you get 1 hour of doctrine every day, and you get into the concentration, and you get into the zone and the anointing that comes across on your iPhone where you have the archived, and you use your phone as a great tool. I love the phone. It's amazing. What an incredible device that is. I have nothing against it. But when you come into the assembly, you're saying, God needs my full concentration on what? On his presence. On his presence. When I go into the prayer meeting, I bring a stack of magazines like this, and I'm down and just leafing through the magazines. Is that prayer? That's not prayer. That's leafing through the magazines. Do I bring my phone into prayer and just be surfing the net while I'm praying? That's ridiculous. And you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is an amazing Holy Spirit presence that is needed. And we are going to be a funny people if we lose God's presence and to fear him, the beginning of wisdom, and an amazing respect for him and his work. So then it goes like this. Verse, I lost it. 6, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And look at what happened. The word of God increased. The word of God increased. Is it increasing in your heart, in your mind? Is there an increase of the word? Do you know more now than you did a year ago? Is it increasing in your heart, in your mind, in your way of thinking? Sometimes I know that I am a foolish man. I know this, so I pray, Lord, give me wisdom. I'm listening to a person in counseling, and I don't trust myself, and I'm just quietly praying, God, help me, give me wisdom, because I cannot do this. But you do this. This is your work, and this person is a precious person, and I don't want to mess them up or interfere what you are doing, God. Help me. You understand? And that's how you are also, because we are people like Stephen. This is what the message is about. You and I are people like Stephen or Stephen. Look at verse 5. It says, he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit and Philip, and he gives the names. And then they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Where did you get the disciples? They multiplied. How did they multiply? God gave the word. A disciple is not somebody by nature. You're a disciple. I'm not a disciple. That's like a religious disciple, a man that's, by religious conviction. But we are disciples by the word of God. You are my disciples if you continue in my word. If we continue in this book, then we become disciples. Meaning, you'll have a word in season. It means you'll be able to make a negotiation in troubled waters saying, I don't feel like this is exactly right. I don't have peace about it. And you're able to say, no, can't do it. And when Solomon had his politics and he was taking foreign women so he could have peace around him, like in our case, a Canadian wife, a Mexican wife, and as the president or the leader of the country, take the neighboring countries, the women, and then it was his foreign policy. And he should have said, no, God is my way. I need wisdom. And he tells me not to multiply wives or gold or horses. And he's going to lead me in the right way. But somehow he went off the rails. And I don't want you or any of us, anybody, when we get on this and the word of God is increasing, he's going to make you a disciple in your heart. And you're going to have these Sophia wisdom, Phronesis wisdom, and Sunesis wisdom. And you're going to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You see, God, I got a hunger for this, and I can overcome that temptation. I got to finish up. A little girl was asked, it's a little joke here. She's 4-year-old, prayed, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Forgive us our, trespasses? Yeah, trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. How about that? How about wisdom? And I'm not led into my temptations like others, because I have something going on that is in my heart. Meditating on this book, thinking about it, getting messages in my heart, being fed by the Spirit of God. And Stephen had this, and he could not be resisted. Let's finish it. It says here in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders. Well, I gotta believe that's for you know, you and me. Full of faith and power. Yeah. We gotta believe that that's it for us. Full of faith and power. And peace. And wisdom. And quietness. They could not resist the wisdom. Verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That's what I wanted to say tonight. That's the end of the message. I think we ran out of time. You got it. I want to say very simply that these words are so important to us. And by them, we can make decisions at work, in relationships, when we fail, in our disappointment or failure, temptations, when we have to forgive people, when we kind of get above, we kind of like see the big picture and say, that's not going to take all my time. I'm not going to get occupied with that. I got wisdom. That thing will tear me down. I'm not going to spend an hour with that person. That person is destructive in their language and in their attitude. If I go there, I'll do the talking, I'll do the loving, I'll pray for them, and I'll get out as fast as I can. If they're going to talk and tear me down, it's not edifying. It goes nowhere. It lacks wisdom. And that happens amongst us. I hear about it. You don't entertain people that are destructive and have another spirit. You discern it. A wise man, let me finish. A wise man, a very, very wise man, became a very, very foolish man. Herod was a foolish man, and God couldn't get the foolishness out of him. Even if you grind him in the pestle, the mortar, I cannot get the foolishness out of him. He will not change. But I got an answer. I got an answer here. This is it. I got an answer. I got it. I believe it. I believe it. I am not much of a person at all. I know that. That is not the point. The point is he gives you something that is so important in your life. And he gives it to you by the Holy Spirit and by this book and by this church, and any church like it, that feeds us and leads us. And it'll be a time when it can't be resisted. And the enemy is there, and they are very foolish. If you listen to the enemies of God, they are very foolish. They are very foolish. And as you grow in wisdom, you recognize it and discern it and go, now, that's, I'm not interested in that at all. That's foolishness to me. Thank you very much, but I'm not part of that at all. I got something else going on in my heart. And that wisdom will change a life. Resist an enemy. Overcome the devil. Edify the body. Some of it might even go to another place and do something that will be awesome. And it will be God is with that man and that woman and that group of people. Okay? That's it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we gather in your name with just such honor that this is recorded in a book. And that we that have listened, it's in a book. And we talk often one to another about you. And we hear the lies, we know the accusations, exaggerations, the twistings. We discern the confusion, the pride. We read the Proverbs a lot, actually. Every day I read a chapter of Proverbs, like for decades. Those are words of life, wisdom from God given to us, and how to discern the hypocrisy, discern what's behind strife is pride, to discern the spirits and to see it and to walk. And yet, I am a fool like all of us, and yet God has separated our new nature from the old one. God has given us a new nature, and we have something going on. He that wins souls is wise. Let me say one other thing. If you're a missionary and you come back home and you don't do soul winning and you don't meet us on a Saturday morning, then why would we send you out on the mission field? Why, if you cannot be building us up in the body, in our soul winning efforts and be part of what we're doing in Baltimore, then why would we send you abroad? There you go. That's a good subject, isn't it? And don't let us not fool ourselves by the deceit of our own heart and just say, you know what? I like the mission field, but I'm not so much in Baltimore. That's the carnal. That's wrong. That cannot be. I was just to say it about myself, so we were 6 years in Finland, came back 9 years, and said to Pastor Stevens, I'm with you in prayer. I don't have to do any preaching. I'm not that important. I just want to build up the body and do whatever you're doing. He said, that's what we need. And we had Lennox, and we had amazing work of God. God did the work. Then the time went to go back out, and God brought me 9 years later and my family. We went to Hungary, and we were there. And that was a strange arrangement, too, because they lived here. After 1 year, they lived here, and I was going and coming. And whenever I came, it was about the body and building up and edifying. You know what I'm saying. Then when he got sick, he asked Pastor Shabelli and I, please, to be here and help him. And we did. And here we are, years later. But what is the point? I don't care where I live. I got wisdom. And wisdom tells me that wherever I go, I got something worthwhile thinking about, practicing in my life, expressing in my heart, and he that winneth souls is wise. God, we are all missionary. We are all called into it. We all have an important part in it, and we're all learning it. Okay, was that a prayer or was that an exhortation? Let's see. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Lord, okay, here we go. Let's pray. Okay. Salvation call. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're here tonight, you don't have Christ in your heart, here's an invitation for you. Here it is. You can't get rid of your foolishness, even if you crush it in a mortar and try to separate it from you. It's in your DNA. You cannot get rid of it. But Christ came and crucified your flesh and was raised from the dead, and you were raised with him. Now you are wise. Now you are saved. Now you are a child of God. Walk in it. Enjoy it. But it must start by believing in him. Please believe in him tonight. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Raise your hand, please. Raise your hand here tonight. Raise your hand, anyone at all. I believe in you, Jesus. I'm starting my new life. I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. I need you. Save me. Forgive me. Or say, I can't. Lord, I'm going to believe in you, but I don't know what I can. I'm not saying much about me, but please, you save me. Reach down into this world. Save me. I pray in your name, in Jesus' name. Anyone, raise your hand. Anyone at all in the auditorium. Yeah. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, thank you. And then just say a prayer tonight as a believer. Just say, Lord, help me in my family. Help me in my business. Help me in my everyday life. Lead me in wisdom. Teach me the way. Give me what I need. I want to finish the course with joy. I want to finish it all the way. God, in your name, I pray. Amen.